Welcome back to this edition of ASAP's So What, and this is a first. We're going to do a crossover edition with the guys from EM Over Easy, a great podcast, kind of coming out of the Columbus, Ohio area. I'll let you guys introduce yourselves because I will maul names because we're recording this live at ASAP 17, and last night was all the parties.
So. and it was a good party for sure, yeah. No doubt. I'm Drew Kelno, faculty at Doctors Hospital in Columbus, Ohio.
I'm Andy Little, research director at Doctors Hospital in Columbus, Ohio.
And I'm Tanner Grunowski. I am a travel doc with USACS.
Wonderful. So the usual format on my show is to get the academics to put their money where their mouth is, and we'd start off with a case. But with three of you, it's a little tough to start off with a case. So we'll get just right to the meat of the debate. This is going to be a good old-fashioned VL versus DL smackdown. For those who don't know or aren't familiar with those acronyms, we're talking about video laryngoscopy versus direct laryngoscopy. That is to say, do you use a good old-fashioned laryngoscope, or do you reach for the glide scope first? So, all right, going around the table, I'm definitely a DL guy.
VL for sure.
VL.
VL first.
Oh my, look at this. All right, I'm a little outnumbered. Hold on, let me crack the knuckles. All right, so why VL first?
So I came into emergency medicine having never intubated anybody or done any sort of background before. So I started off DL just because I wanted to learn the basics, the old school way of doing things. But then once you get video, it's just hard to go back.
Okay.
For me, it's mostly just working in an academic site. It allows me to teach better. It allows me to know what the resident's actually seeing without them having to kind of explain what the anatomy is. I can just see what they're seeing to make sure, one, that they're getting the proper view, and then, two, that it actually is successful. But I'll fully admit that when I work without residents, I actually flip a coin, and I do DL on a pretty regular basis. So
you got one of those double-headed coins is what you're saying. Never get in. Guys, if you're out with Andrew Little, do not.
Heads I win, tails you lose.
You lose, all right.
Yeah.
Perfect. So I started in the fire service, worked my way up. I left as a paramedic right as VL was coming on the scene for EMS, and I thought those fancy departments that had it were just touting something in my face, and why the heck would you need it? Fast forward a few years of medical school and residency, and I see VL for all it's worth, which is you learn how to do intubation better, faster. Your first pass rate success is better for a learning resident, and it increases your ability to do direct intubation well. So why wouldn't you start there and then learn the direct and have both in your toolbox?
Well, see, I would totally disagree with you and go the opposite direction and say, why wouldn't you do get down direct laryngoscopy first and then get a little bit of video as a backup, right? Because here's the thing. So a number of years ago, as you point out, I was in the fire service, but I also spent some time working with the U.S. Fire Administration. And one of the projects I was working on had us dealing with a plane crash, and I met with several members of the NTSB and the FAA, and at least the story that they told, and I have no way to independently verify this, they always like to fly Southwest Airlines. And the reason that they told me they always like to fly Southwest Airlines is that Southwest never purchased the Autoland system on any of their 737s. So all of their pilots always were landing the plane. They never, ever were flipping a switch and letting the computer do it. And they said, you know, at the end of the day, I don't want there to be an emergency at the end and have them suddenly have to override and go this way and, you know, having, you know, if all they've learned on is the technology and this is the only way they've known how to do it for forever, I don't feel as safe. So I'd rather be with somebody who lands all the time. And I kind of look at VL the same way, right? The anatomy, learning the anatomy raw, uninterrupted, being, you know, in close visual contact as you have to be to do direct laryngoscopy with the anatomy will only serve you well if you're going to go to VL. But trying to go from VL to DL, I don't think it's the same. You can't be used to a 2D screen and then move to the 3D view.
I almost feel like you're making the argument for VL, because with VL, you're getting that video look at the end goal anatomy, seeing what the target is when you're doing DL. So when you see it doing DL, you're better prepared to actually do it. I mean, listen, I get it. The difficulty in DL is finding the vocal cords. The difficulty in VL is getting the tube into the vocal cords. There's challenges to both. Neither of them are perfect systems. But to go back to your argument, I think about this little video clip from one of my favorite movies, which is Backdraft, right? And there's a little sign above a TV as the guys are sitting around the firehouse, and it says 150 years of tradition unimpeded by progress. And that's about what DL is right now.
That's an actual sign, by the way, in Chicago Station House. But it's not. It's not that at all. Because to me, when you say things like, well, it's the problem is finding the chords, Listen, I'm a devotee of Rich Levitan. I don't know if you've taken this course. The problem, there's no problem finding the course. Okay? I can find the epiglottis on anybody.
Sure.
All right, that's all I really need. Because really, it's not laryngoscopy, it's epiglottoscopy. Right? If I can get the epiglottis, and I can do that reliably, I can either control it, or if I can't control it, I can put a bougie up behind it. I can do a lot of things if I can find the epiglottis, and, well, I can find the epiglottis on anybody. That's not to say I can intubate anybody.
Sure.
But that's to suggest that the difficult intubation will somehow be mitigated by VL, and that just doesn't hold true in the data, right? I mean, in the beginning, learner, is it faster to learn on video laryngoscopy than on direct laryngoscopy? Probably. It's probably easier as a pilot to learn how to land a plane by flipping a switch, okay? I mean, there is a difference in the tactile use. There's a difference in the feel. And there's a difference in that engagement that, to me, is invaluable and is lost, and sadly is becoming a lost art.
How do you feel about the VL using traditional geometry?
Great teaching tool, right? Put a very small fiber optic scope on the end of the direct laryngoscopy. So as Andy pointed out, we know exactly what the learner's looking at. I have no problem with that. But I still think the anatomy's different. Now, let me ask you a question, because you're a traveler.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my other concern with VL. Not all VL is the same, right? I know that if I go to any emergency department in the United States, I can get a Mac 4 and I can get a Miller 2, which is my backup blade. No matter where I'm at, I'm going to get a Mac 4 and a Miller 2. And if I have to, I'll carry my damn own. They're not that expensive. How do you handle it when, you know, you're a glide scope guy and you've got a King Vision as the preferred VL at the next place? Or if you've learned on a indirect system and all they've got is a direct system?
Overall, I think, you know, in residency, I got exposed to multiple different kinds of these VL devices. So I had a pretty decent comfort with them in general. I also grew up playing video games. So to me, any sort of VL system is really, really easy to manipulate compared to the DL for me. And I think that just comes to my history of hand-eye coordination and not having to manipulate stuff right in front of my face.
So basically you're calling me old and uncoordinated.
I'm just calling myself a geek.
I heard I'm old and uncoordinated. On the record, Eric.
You were just saying he could beat you at PlayStation and Xbox at the same time.
Probably true. But I don't know that I want to do that with the crashing patient either. I mean, that's really one of my concerns, is if you get very used to one system.
Sure.
And you are traveling. I mean, do we really want to become a nation of, hi, I'm Howie, I'm a GlideScope ER doc, and, you know, you're a King Vision ER doc, and having to account for that as we move into our jobs?
Well, I think that's part of, you know, being a travel doc too, is when you get to a new place, you have to get a lay of the land and figure out what you have available so that you can mentally prep for that. If I show up to a place and I have a system I don't know, you're absolutely right. I'm going to probably default to the things that I am comfortable with and know well for my first pass type of scenario. If I'm using a system I don't know, I'm probably going to defer away from that until I do get comfortable with it.
I guess I just don't get it, because to me, I mean, I have my own difficult airway algorithm, right? I know what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to say I never have ever used VL, right? I mean, I'm not going to say that, but I do know that when I look at an airway problem, when I look at a patient, when I go ahead and I put that laryngoscope in, and, you know, I'm a no DSET guy, right? So I'll have nasal cannula on them. I've got a little bit of time. I'm going to have totally washed them out, pre-oxygenated the living hell out of them, gotten them as physiologically good as I can. And I go in there, and if I don't see what I like, there's going to be a couple of problems, as you point out, right? It's going to either be I can't get the tube through the cords, the anatomy is difficult to appreciate, I can find the epiglottis, but the gap behind it is so damn tight, everything is swollen. But I can pick my tool for the problem I find. So sometimes that tool might be a bougie. Sometimes that tool might be a Miller 2 to get better control of the epiglottis. And sometimes, yeah, that might be video laryngoscopy. But starting there, I haven't seen the case made for it. I mean, is there data out there that says that if you take an old dog and try to teach them the new trick, that they somehow improve? Am I off the standard of care here because I'm going to get better first pass success than I already have if you put me into a VL?
I think if you've mastered the art, you've mastered the art. But what Andy and I look at teaching young residents coming in is when we hand them the VL first, that not only makes them more proficient at intubating quicker, but it also makes them more comfortable and more proficient using DL once they've gotten their VL skills up to speed. So we've actually pushed the learning curve faster by starting with VL than we have DL. And there's pretty good data out there, both in the EM setting and the ICU setting, that supports that approach. So it's hard for me to say, hey, resident, here's the VL, but I'm always going to use DL. Now, I'll be honest with you. In the last month, I've intubated a dozen times, at least, when I've been on my own, and I've used both, and I feel comfortable using both. And at the end of the day, if you don't have both in your wheelhouse, that's where you're in trouble. And I think that's what you're saying.
I guess to me, if we are teaching VL first, we run the potential of running into the problem of not getting them good and comfortable in DL before they leave. Because I'll tell you, there is certainly plenty of data, and it was always a worry when I was a resident. It's not like I trained at a low-volume place, that we did we get enough intubations before we're going out on our own. And I'll tell you, the first couple were nerve-wracking. I was so glad to have Levitan's course. And now you're saying, well, now we got to split them between VL and DL. We're going to give them some VL first, take away some of those crucial first tubes as they're setting their muscle memory, and take that away, give that to VL, and then we're going to hand them DL like in their third year and see if they can get comfortable with it in 1 year after having the other thing. Go back to the auto lander on the plane. You're never going to get them away from it. They're always going to be reaching for it. It's what they started with. It's what they're the most comfortable with. They'll tell themselves it's because they played video games, but it's not. And the other thing I'll take issue with, you know, when we talk about they'll intubate faster. Guys, remember, rapid sequence intubation does not refer to how fast you put the tube in. It refers to how fast you push those drugs. Okay, so if there is 30 seconds faster using VL, I don't care. I've got them pre-oxygenated. I've controlled for that, with the sole exception of the profoundly acidotic guy that I've got to try to compensate for their rate, and I'm probably going to do that as an awake intubation, or at least the ketamine-facilitated intubation instead anyway. I don't see that need to rush. I prefer to calm down a little and say, hey, we've got this. The rush doesn't help me.
Yeah, I agree. There's no point in rushing, and no. I'll give you that, but I don't think that has a play into DL or VL. If you're doing a methodical, proper setup, it doesn't matter what device you're using. Because as soon as you rush, that's when we're making mistakes.
But I've heard you say at least,
you learn
5 times in the past 5 minutes that it's faster. The speed of their intubation is better.
That's not what I was saying. They're faster at becoming proficient in intubation. It takes less attempts to become good at intubating if you start with VL than it does DL. So you actually accelerate that learning curve. It has nothing to do with the speed of the actual intubation.
But again, you really think that as instructors, we've got enough exposure to tubes in an emergency room setting, because I'm sorry, OR is not the same thing, doesn't count.
Absolutely.
Totally different patients. That they've got enough exposure that we can now split them across two systems and make them fully proficient at both. Maybe you can. I don't know. I mean, I'm a community doc. I'm not teaching that actively with residents anymore, but I would have to see that as a huge challenge, because it was a huge challenge for us to get enough to be comfortable with DL. And hell, I walked in as a medic.
Sure. I was in the same boat as you, but it worries me that there's not enough intubations. And by starting with DL first, that learning curve takes so much longer. And now we're really doing a disservice, because VL is the tool that they don't have ready to go when they need it.
So what's the research say?
Research says VL first.
Research says VL first.
In my opinion. With the native learner.
Correct.
All right, with the newbie, with the person that's never held the laryngoscope, it says that it's slightly faster to learn VL first, but I would argue less proficient at DL when you're done, especially in a 3-year program.
That's the study that we need to do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys have a nice academic program.
Challenge accepted.
I would lay that smack down, because I still think that, again, I keep going back to a pilot's analogy, but is it easier to teach to fly the prop plane first, or is there a way to teach, you know, to start you off using simulators and teach you to fly jets right off the go? I don't know, but I'm going to bet that there's some fine nuances that you're not going to pick up if you somehow learn off simulators and fly in jets first versus, you know, taking your time and in the small single prop plane getting buffeted all over the sky. And you'll never convince me that there is an equal appreciation for the variations of anatomy as you see them on a 2D screen versus seeing them in real life.
What if we get 3D lenses and 3D screens with glasses that we wear when we start to intubate. Is that the next level?
Let's get a couple of robots too.
Yeah.
And let's actually just not even worry about it. Let's just get custom made airway inserts based on the patient's DNA.
I mean, these are pie in the sky thoughts, guys.
Right.
This is amazing.
But you get my point.
Yeah.
If we had, and I'm sorry, but any 3D rendering is still going to be a 3D rendering. Yeah. Virtual reality is still virtual.
It's true. Very, very true.
All right. Well,
I don't think we're going to settle this today.
I don't think we're going to settle this today, but I think we have to really bring up a couple of points to the community docs. But before we get into that, this is a conversation that's going to go on. People want to get a hold of you guys. Obviously, there's EM Over Easy. This is the new podcast.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's probably the best place to get a hold of us.
All right.
Yeah, we're on Twitter at emovereasy.com. We're on Facebook if you search EM Over Easy, and then www.emovereasy.com.
Or emovereasy@gmail.com.
Yes.
A lot there of you go. Sources. It's good stuff, guys. Take a listen to their podcast. Really interesting topics, great discussions like this one that we're having. So if you like it, kind of go there. If you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of us through the Facebook page. Otherwise, I'm on Twitter at Dr. Howie Mell, at DrHowieMell, or you can email me at howie.mell@gmail.com. So the best part about having your own podcast, even when you're borrowing somebody else's recording equipment, is you always get the last word. So the last word on this one, it, for me, is pretty simple. For the community doc, if you haven't learned on VL, the data are very clear. It will not likely appreciably increase your ability to get first pass success or eventual successful intubation. It doesn't seem to move that needle for the expert learner. For the new learner, it is a faster way to master the skill, if you will, but there are some serious questions as to whether we can, within the time frame of a residency, actually train both of those skill sets. And to me, if VL is so quick to pick up and so easy to pick up, then we ought to be training the folks the way we always have in terms of DL and allow the VL to be picked up on the back end as an additional adjunct for the difficult airway and the difficult airway algorithm. But either way, DL or VL, you know, do what's comfortable and do what's best for your patients. Thank you for listening. And remember, whether it's schadenfreude or saving lives, we've got the best job in the world. Have a great day, everyone.